What's on your mind?
Centers of influence are on our mind.
Yay. So what's going on?
We want to know how to interact with them.
We want to cover, how to, what the model of interacting with a center of influence from a supernova perspective.
Okay.
So
switching to Bluetooth here. Go ahead.
So the key is, the key is to take it out of your hands of discipline and put it in the hands of your assistant who creates rituals around it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same exact model as 1242.
Right.
And what people do wrong is that they say, well, I can do that.
No, you can't.
What happens is then you get busy.
Right.
And you get distracted and it's 6 months until you call the guy again.
Yeah.
And that's what's wrong. The attention that you give to the center of influence is directly proportional to the amount of return that you're going to get from the relationship. Think about friendships, right? Friendships are directly correspondent to the amount of attention that you give your friend. Think about dating somebody. What if you dated somebody for 4 days in a row and then you didn't call them for 6 months?
Whoa. They'd be upset or they'd feel just not loved.
Right. And it's a subconscious thing. With a relationship, the dating thing is obvious, right? But you don't think of your relationship with the center of influence as dating, but you should. You should think of it the same way. You're building a friendship. And if you think you're doing something other than building a friendship, you're making a really big mistake. So don't try and build centers of influence with people that you don't like. You can't fake it.
Good call.
The other is to make sure that you're building relationships with givers, not takers. Okay. People that you genuinely like and are good human beings that want to help you, like you, trust you, and, you can generally be friends with. So it's like anything else. You guys are together because you've built a relationship. You like each other. You trust each other and you respect each other, right? Or you wouldn't work together. Today's world, you can go anywhere. So it's the same thing.
Okay. I've got 1241, or it's 1242 rather. I've got our office manager manages that schedule. I've got that you genuinely like them.
Yeah, you like you like them, you trust them. They like you, they trust you, and they're willing to give you introductions without you asking. That's the definition of a center of influence. Okay. Now, there's those you already have, and you know when you have a center of influence, right? You can just count on them. They give you an introduction every year. You don't even have to ask. There are existing clients. They're great, and they help you. Everybody else that isn't in that category is a potential center of influence.
Mm-hmm.
and they're on probation until they become one.
Okay.
So the idea is that they don't consider them a center of influence until they fall into those characteristics. So it's really hard to build them, right? I don't know if I shared the story, but I had a guy who built his business around a CPA that was fabulous, and he gave regular referrals all the time. I said, how long did it take you to build that relationship? He said, 20 years.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you already have a 20-year relationship with somebody because you went to school with them since the first grade, that's probably a good guy to start with. People say, well, I don't want to do business with my friends. I've heard that. I said, well, they get out of the business, get out of all business.
Interesting. You highly disagree with, you obviously highly disagree with the statement.
Oh, I think it's the most ridiculous statement I've ever heard. Because your clients become your friends and your friends become your clients.
Right. Couldn't agree more.
What are you selling? Are you selling arsenic and? What are you poisoning people? No, you're doing your very best to do a great job for them. You're going to make them a lot of money over their lifetime. They just have to trust you.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting, because why would you not do business with people that you care about in this business if you're selling something good?
Right. I mean, my brother and I, he didn't have all my money, but he had a portion of it when he was a financial advisor. I trusted him. I liked him, and I liked calling and talking to him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We made a lot. We really made a lot of money together.
So last night, so I had a, it's really, really, I'll just tell a quick anecdote. So last night I'm swinging golf clubs, which I'm very bad at, but my friend that I've reacquainted with of 30 years is an excellent golfer. He played college golf, and he was training me last night, and he introduced me to five people. He told me what each one did. You've got to connect with this one. You've got to connect with this one. And this is what this one does. And this is what this one does. And this is all their names. This is who you're going to see there. And he prepped me. And, I would say he's a giver, not a taker, genuinely like each other, obviously friends, trust each other, willing to give introductions without you asking. Yes. What I'm missing is assistant manages this, but at least at this point, we're not calling each other, but I could see if I wanted to multiply this by six, which is the requirement, but for Supernova, I absolutely need that. And then 12-4-2, hey, I could formalize that more. If we actually had a set schedule, or an assistant would just know, hey, it's next month. When are you going to see Chuck?
No, make a folder up for him. Make a folder up for him. Put all the names in there that he's given you. And once a month, the folder pops up just like out of the, think of it as putting a piece of toast in a toaster. And in a month from now, the toast pops up, right? That's your folder. It pops up and there it is. And you put it out and you reserved an hour for that person. Okay.
Yep.
Now you can have a set appointment with him, which I recommend, because it'd be fun to spend that hour with him and you talk to him. Or you get together and have lunch with him, or you hit golf balls for an hour. I mean, you determine how that hour should be best set, but it should be set every month. Otherwise, it will be 3 months.
So, let's see here. 1, 2, 3, 4. All the other gentlemen that you see in the room here are, certified, licensed, individuals that are going to be registered at Altman Advisors in 15 days. Okay.
Yes.
So, yay. So we're going to, let's just put it this way. So I'm one person, right? So I'm going to do this 6 times, right?
Right.
So I've got to get my 6 names, whoever those people are. And I need to do this, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just writing names down right now of my supposed people. I will evaluate whether they should be on probation or not, after this. Okay.
Now, here's the fun part, Ben. You have a contest, and the contest is who can give the most introductions.
Okay.
Your friend is winning.
Right. He just made 5 last night. I have all 5 of their contacts. Yeah. Right. Yes.
He's winning.
He's winning.
You're in contest with him. With everyone. How many can you give?
How many can I give to him? Because actually he cares.
I don't care how many who you give him to.
Okay.
It doesn't matter where they go. What okay. It matters is that you give. See, if you concentrate on giving, you can't lose. You can't lose that contest. Right?
Right.
You can only win it.
Yep. Give and take the book.
Right.
We will order more copies of it.
So what you want to do is take the 5 people in this room, and every week you have a contest of who can give the most introductions.
Okay, among ourselves. This is not a contest among my centers of influence. This is a contest among this room.
That's right. And whoever wins, you got to have names and real introductions. And whoever wins gets a lunch on you every week. Okay.
The next topic we're going to talk about, I think we have more to talk about here, but the next topic I want to talk about is how to run we're supposed to have 1 sales meeting a week, which is this, when we have this. But there's 3 other weeks in the month, at least. I want to go over what you suggest, how I can turn that into a sales meeting each week, basically, where we each get a little bit from each other on how to represent the firm, how to expand the firm with individuals who might invest with us. That would be our next topic. But if we have time, let's see here.
I can do that pretty quick.
Okay, great.
You should have 2 meetings a week. One of them should be concentrated just like should be the Monday meeting, I suggest, is this meeting. Because that would gives you all weekend to get more, to give more introductions. So let's just concentrate on COIs for the Monday meeting, which is a game board meeting or our giving board. Okay.
Okay.
All right. And then Friday is the scoreboard. And at that meeting, each director reports.
Okay.
So technically the Monday meeting is, quote, a sales meeting because that's on marketing and sales. The Friday meeting is on reporting how are we doing versus our goals. We create a vision of where we want to be 5 years from now. We back it up. Then this is where we are. This is where we need to be. How are we doing in each of the five areas? Financial planning, implementation of the planning process, brand management, marketing, and leadership. So the marketing director, who's in charge of the Monday meeting, would tell you what happened at that meeting, a summary, just a summary. This is what happened Monday. This is how we're doing versus our goals in terms of sales. Okay. Director of implementation would talk about the month ahead. What are we going to do? What's our plan for the month? What training are we doing internally? Director of brand management, we talk about the 12-4-2 model and how are we doing in operations and support and other things. And then director of marketing would talk about how we're doing in sales and marketing. And then director of leadership would give the numbers for where we are in terms of assets, new relationships, fee-based services, everything else that you guys want to track. So that's the report card for overall given by the leader. So everybody does their job, concentrate on doing their job and then reporting it. And then do it the next week and the next week and the next week and the next week and the next week. Pretty soon you get pretty good at it.
Okay. Okay.
So Ben, just for your knowledge, what I'm doing with another team, is I'm taking and coaching each of the players on the team. It's cost some money, but I think it's really interesting. So we do divide it into brand management. Excuse me, we divide it into each of the five stars assigned, and they have the same, they have nine people on their team. But so five people have each of those five-star roles. I'm coaching each of them individually, and then I'm coaching the team together. And what I'm getting is amazing. Well, here's the thing. Each one of their players needs coaching individually. They don't really know the business. They're learning the business. So I'm teaching them selling skills. I'm teaching them product knowledge. I'm bringing in specialists. I'm teaching them how to use LinkedIn and how to market through LinkedIn and other things. So it's really interesting and rewarding. I'm not coaching it. And this is kind of what I want to do in the future. Instead of coaching more teams, I'm going to coach more in depth. And it's particularly important for teams like yours where you have a bunch of new people and they're all trying to figure out what they're supposed to be doing and how they're supposed to be doing it. And you don't have time to teach them all. You don't have time to develop them. There is no training program, quote. If you're relying on this to get it done, it's going to be frustrating. I mean, it can work, but it's not going to work as well as if you actually get in-depth coaching. So
in my words, it's too slow.
Yeah. You need faster results. And, this FA is going to be retiring. And so he wants his team ready. So, you know, in the big picture, it's worth it for him.
Yeah.
And for the firm to train these people so that they can take over because it's a, you know, it's a multi-billion dollar team. And, so anyway, I just share that with you because it's kind of fun. It's actually really fun for me. You can imagine I really get to use all my old skills from, you know, detailed coaching and not just Supernova, just coaching guys, right? I train thousands of financial advisors and, this is what I'm getting to do again. So it's fun. Anyway. I share that with you.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that with me because I'm noticing that we don't have anything on the schedule for January. I think our program is up for this round and we got to figure out what we're going to do next. So, I'll get with you, Rob, and we'll figure out a plan for the team. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I just think it's fair. I mean, you guys talk about it. You know, talk to them, find out what the buy-in is, will they be willing to do it and want to do it. I just happened to go up to Chicago for the 40th anniversary of this guy, and he said, talk to my team and then talk to each of my players. Once I got done talking to him, he said, what do you think? I said, I think he needs some coaching. And they were like, yay, we want this. Because it was – there's just, you know, it's a down, it's just enormous amounts of, you know, I've got 52 years of experience that, you know, I'm eventually not going to share, right? Because I won't be here. It seems kind of crazy not to share that. We have 3 books we can use as textbooks to study from. Supernova Advisor, Supernova Multiplier, Supernova Teams. Seems like with all that homework that we've done on the subject, we should be of more value than we've been to your team and other teams that really want to do well. So I'm kind of rethinking how to do this because I get frustrated by just blowing through teams and then moving on to the next team and you know, never knowing how they're actually going to do. And
interesting.
Anyway. So
interesting. Well, thank you. That gives me some food for thought. Gives us some food for thought. Okay. Going back to this center of influence. So yeah. at our Monday morning meeting, we as a team have a competition of, let's see here.
Giving.
It's a giving competition.
Yeah. And so, you know, just. How do you get opportunities to give? You ask questions like, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? You can ask that in a cocktail party. You can ask that of anybody. You can ask it of your clients. And then when you get done with that, yeah, how about your attorney, estate planning attorney? Can you enthusiastically endorse your estate planning attorney? I don't have one. Really? How about your CPA? I've got one, but I've outgrown it. Would you be open to an introduction? We've got a terrific one. So you can do that at cocktail parties. You can do it anywhere. But what happens is you then become a center of influence. See, because so, you've got this enthusiastically endorsed list of professionals in your community. So one of the things to add on to your monthly calls is the question, oh, by the way, Mr. Client, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? So then you get a list of all the best CPAs in your community and who's using whom. And then you have the opportunity to give and to get, right? You give introductions where they're needed and you get the names of the best CPAs in the community. And then you go meet them. So this is fundamental to our folder system. It's right in it's the third page in the folder system. So you want to, you know, this all goes together to create a model for building that, you know, your golden Rolodex of enthusiastically endorsed professionals in your community. And then you can become a professional giver because you've got the answer when somebody says, my 16-year-old son is on drugs and I need help. Because you're calling him every month, he shares that with you and you say, I've got a terrific guy. Would you be interested? He's a psychologist. He specializes in teenagers and he's there for you in case you need to do an intervention or just personal training, you know, personal coaching and personal help for your son. And he's like, thank God you helped me. Because that was the most important thing in my life now. And so you become a center of influence, a person that helps others in all kinds of different ways, not just in financial services.
So let's do a bit of, John and I came up with this topic today, and, John, I want to give you an opportunity to lead a bit and see what, perhaps we haven't covered, what questions you might have.
Yeah. I mean, I have a couple that jump to mind that, Rob, I'm sure you hear a lot of young guys ask, because everyone wants to look for a roadmap, but really it's, more so about setting oneself up for success. So as somebody who's a newer planner in my career and getting some reins here, what I'm looking to confirm is that we are setting, you know, Ben's done this. He knows how to do it a little better than I do. I want to understand what the best ways are to put myself out there as an individual to make these introductions. It's easy to sit and think about one or two friends you might have, who can build your network, but, putting into practice is another question, I think. So I'd look for, any words of guidance you might have, you know, for me, maybe at this stage.
Yeah. Okay. Start with LinkedIn.
Okay.
Okay. And start with, you know, are you from Chicago in the area?
No, but I've lived here for 9 years. So it's all been since I graduated college. So this really is where 100% of my professional network and the majority of my friendship network is these days.
And did you go to college there?
No, Pennsylvania, actually.
Okay. There's a couple, I mean, there's lots of things you can do. I mean, you know, newcomers is a great way. There's all kinds of things you can do to meet people and to get into, but if you've been there for 9 years, you already have a network. It may not be a professional network. It may just be a network of friends, but you want to look at your network and look inside that network to see who among those people are professionals that you can rely on, right? So you got to start somewhere. Neighbors, friends, people you, do you play sports? Play golf?
Yeah, I try to play golf. I did play soccer in college. I play usually every weekend. So, it's a good way to get out. And then I'm, active in the sailing community in Chicago.
Great. Soccer's great. And that's a nice thing. And I bet you guys have a few beers afterward, right? Yeah, so that's your network right there. These guys are all going to be successful. They're all athletes. That generally means they're competitive, means they're probably pretty disciplined. And you got to, you know, not all of them. Some will be, you know, professional soccer players or close to it, but they don't care. But most of, you know, most of them want to be as successful as they were in college in now in this new athletic pursuit. You know, I was a tennis player and I found this business to be the greatest outlook out, the greatest, it was so similar to tennis that I loved it because it's competitive. You're on your own. You make, you know, you eat what you kill. And you're measured every day on how you're doing. So it,
you know. By the way, if I might interrupt, John has a tremendous opportunity, he passed over it, the sailing community. I think it's the Chicago Yacht Club. I think he's raced in the Mackinac. Am I right there, John, or I'm not sure.
This was my seventh time doing that this summer. So I've done quite a bit. Like when I say I'm active in the sailing community, I mean, I race, I'm on the boat maybe 2 or 3 days a week.
Yeah. I mean, so you're in perfect position. Those are all fabulous. It's like the golf thing. You're introduced to five people. Ben was. So what you want to do is you want to meet people socially and then you want to meet them professionally. And you just simply say it that way. You know, we've known each other socially for a long time. I'd love to have lunch and get to know each other professionally.
I did that a long time ago.
Sorry. Remember that, Shelly? Right? Yeah. It works, right?
Sorry. Yeah.
No, but
yeah.
It works.
Sorry.
And it's the idea that you're a member of a board forever and you never get any referrals from it. Why not? Because you never made any effort.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you gotta ask.
You got to say, I'm running for president of the yacht club. Okay. I want to get to know every member of the club, and I want to get to know them in a way that they really value me. That's got to be your mental set. Okay. So if you're at the soccer game and somebody's got to be in charge, somebody's got to be pulling it together. You got to become that person. So people see you as a leader. Once they see you as a leader, then they will start to refer to you. So any time you get a chance to demonstrate leadership, then you're going to do well. And the idea, your mental idea is, I'm running for president of the yacht club. I've got to get to know everybody in the yacht club and get them all to vote for me. I mean, I ran for president of my high school class, and when I did, I found out amazing things about me and the people that I wanted to recruit to help in my campaign, and I wanted to get people to vote for me. Mm-hmm. And I found out there were a lot of really nice people out there that I never bothered to even hardly say hello to.
Sure.
And so it taught me great lessons. And so that's the brain you need to put on, is that I'm not living in a cocoon. I must be an extrovert, and I must go and meet people and get them to like and trust me. Mm-hmm. Like and trust starts first. Then comes the rest. If you can't get that, it's not going to work either way. So basically, all you guys are in a friendship pursuit right now to make as many really good friends as you can in your community and do as much as you can to help them. What does a friend do? He keeps in touch and he helps you anytime he can. He calls on, you know, when you get, I had a friend that just had a stent put in. I emailed him, I texted him, I called him, I checked up on him. Right away, every day. Okay.
Okay.
That's how you are a friend, right? And that's what you need to become. You need to get good at this, and you'll have a better life because of it. And so when you say, you know, I don't have time to call these people once a month, my clients, what are you kidding? Are you joking? You don't have time once a month, 1242, to call every client every month? What are you taking them for granted? What if they're sick? You didn't even know it. What if one of the kids is sick? What are you doing for them? Well, I'm managing the money. Yeah, well, good. That's what they think of you then. Okay, they're not going to refer to you unless they like you and they trust you and see you as a friend. It's a very good life lesson, okay? And maybe, you know, we don't learn this, Jelly, until we're 75, right? But we...
At least.
But am I right? Am I right?
Yes.
I mean, these are the things that matter to people that are my age. And guess who are your clients? People my age. Right? The average client is 65 years old. And I started in 1962. The average client is 65 years old.
And it's still is.
The average client will always be 65. Why? Because that's when they have money. Now, today you've got a bunch of kids with a lot of money, but they're not using us. They're going to, you know, Robin Hood or some crap. So, but when they need advice, they're going to come to us. And that's what. And people are willing to pay for advice. People are willing to pay for professionals once they get serious. And they get serious once they get closer or at retirement. So that's who you prospect. But you're not going to get to those people until you get a network of good friends, and then they'll refer you to them.
Okay. When we do our contest every week, We're doing a scorecard on who met.
How many introductions you gave? And what do you want to do is practice giving professionally. How do you give professionally? A Zoom introduction is number one. Actually, an in-person introduction is number one. A Zoom introduction is number two. An email introduction is number three. And there is no other introduction. So your friend introduced you to five people in person. That's the best. You could actually give points for the best introduction. You could give like 3, 2, 1. 3 points for an in-person introduction, 2 points for a Zoom introduction, and 1 point for an email introduction.
Okay, but my friend introduced me to people last night. I introduced them to one, actually.
So but one in person?
It was all in person, yes.
Yeah, so you get 3 points.
So I actually brought somebody to the outing, too, that ended up connecting with people there.
Ah.
That, yeah.
Whoever you introduced them to.
I blended worlds. Yeah. So, but how do we, I'm sorry. Yeah. So just so I get this straight, I want to make sure how I understand how to play the game. So
it should be a business introduction. It should be something where the person really has an interest and you're making it and it doesn't have to be in our, you know, it doesn't have to, it could be an introduction to, you know, somebody that owns a wine distributorship. You don't care. You're just trying to help, but you're making an actual introduction.
Well, yeah, in this case, I made an introduction of a couple people, and one of them, I introduced somebody from EO. You know EO, I've told you about it.
Yeah.
I brought somebody from EO to the gathering, and we effectively recruited somebody to EO. So there's a business, you know, it was another business owner. There was something in common. I said, Sid, let's tell Joe about EO.
Yes, that's a definite.
Okay.
See, that's a niche. You've got a niche. You've got centers of influence inside the niche, and you're a center of influence inside the niche.
Okay.
That can be a goldmine. You really could use almost that exclusively to prospect with all the time.
Okay. So I'm counting what now? I introduced Sid.
Yeah, you're
to
only
Joe.
Counting the people that you introduced.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So I did three other things this week. I introduced a lawyer to a friend that requested, actually I introduced that same lawyer to Sid, or I recommended, literally he's asking me 9 times, do you recommend him? Do you trust him? Do you like him? You know, so wait, okay. So I want to count what the last week for myself. I introduced a lawyer twice to two different people. That one was in person and one was over text.
Okay. So Shelley, do you see what's happening here? Ben is unconsciously competent.
I think that inevitably that's what happens. Okay. Right. You don't even think about it. You're just doing it.
By doing this, you're going to demonstrate to your team how you run your business, which I bet you've never even told them about this.
No. Did you guys know yesterday that, yes, some of you do. We introduced our clients to their new CPA yesterday on a phone appointment. I spent 30 minutes on the phone with them and they have a new CPA. You guys know I did that in my day yesterday. We did that. I did that during my lunch hour. If I have a lunch hour. Okay. So
I think what's going to be demonstrated is how many of these introductions you actually give that are for real.
Yeah.
Okay. So you become a center of influence. You become a networker. And then when you get them, you think, damn, he just gave me this introduction. I didn't do anything. No, you did. You've been doing it for years.
I did, on a Zoom call, I introduced the friend who took me to the golf outing, which probably was, you know how people like to reciprocate, right? It's human nature.
Right, rule of reciprocity. So
the reason I got, I'm making a connection right now. I don't want to assume it, but I was invited to the golf thing after I introduced my friend to my architects because he's a solar guy and he can connect with the architects. So that was, that's a two, right? That was on Sunday night. And then, I also introduced that same individual to somebody in real estate. That was live. So that's a three. I did that Sunday night too. And I introduced that person in real estate to the architects on the Zoom call too. We actually all took place on our weekly meeting. I brought them into my weekly meeting. So that's a two because that's a phone call. So I've got a one. I've got two. I've got three twos and I've got two threes for, so far this week, I guess.
Right? Go. Yeah.
And this is how we.
And Shelly, you're in on this too. Up.
Okay. You're in, Pop.
All right. My question would be about the, CPA. Is he a center of influence?
I'll tell you from the original phone call I had with him, I said, you know, let's learn about each other. Of course, I've sent, there was one other. I did it via email. I'm going to count it. I introduced him to another client. That's another one. I did that. And that was a call and a follow up this week. Has he introduced us? And I introduced him to another client, you know, weeks before. So I've done three introductions to that CPA in the last 2 weeks. It's probably a good time for him to know more about us, for me to connect with him. Gee whiz, maybe he's one of my centers of influence, he's a potential center of influence.
On probate.
On probate.
Right. Help. He owes us one.
Yeah. We said three for one, maybe. No, we're not, it's not get, we're not takers. Wait, we're not, but that's matching, right, Rob?
Matching is, yeah, you're either giver, taker, or matcher.
So how do we not be matchers?
you can keep score. You're allowed to keep score. Yeah.
As givers, we're allowed to keep score?
Yes.
I kind of think of it, Rob, you can correct me if this is not the right thought process here, but it's, you know, you pour into cups that pour into yours to a degree.
Yeah, it's the idea of that you're testing to make sure that he's a giver. That's all you're doing.
There you go.
We need givers. Okay. It's not that we're matching. How do we, it's not that we're matching, but we're testing for givers. Testing for givers. That's really interesting. Okay, it's 8:45. Does anybody else at the headquarters have any questions? We've had a silent headquarters, not intentionally, but go ahead, guys.
No, this is all very helpful. I think it's a matter of freeing up the calendar to meet with these COIs and then the clients or potential clients that they refer.
Here's the assignment. We each need to have six COIs, whether they're lousy or not. That will be determined. That is to be determined. Right?
The goal is six. You may have zero now.
Okay. We may have zero now. Okay. So, okay, we come to the meeting and we say, it's kind of independent. It's really not that we say, how many introductions did we make? Was it live on Zoom or in email text? Right.
Right. Or in person. Right.
In person, live in person. Okay. And at the end of the week, we see.
On Monday morning, you come together and see how many points you got.
Yeah. And Friday, we convene again and.
Each director reports.
Each director reports. Okay.
Okay, so you want to make those meetings mandatory as you can, as much as you can. Everybody should be at that. Even if you're on the phone or you're somewhere else, just be there and give your numbers and just to support the director of marketing.
Okay.
All right. So the goal is to have six real centers of influence. You may have six people that are all on probation now.
Okay. Can a center of influence be a client?
Of course, there should be a client. Yeah. It should be a client. They all should be a client. They like you, trust you, want to help you. Obviously, they would like to give you business. But you can't do business with every CPA in the world, and they can't do business with every FA in the world, but they certainly can refer to you. Okay?
Excellent. Thank
Good,
you,
Rob. Ben. So do you and I want to talk then? You want to?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. I will arrange for a phone call. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. We'll connect in January.
Okay.
We'll connect. We'll schedule something for January.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
See you, Rob. Bye bye.
Thanks, Rob.